Finally today, let's go on a field trip.
We're going to take a walk on the dock here at the Barking Crab, and we're going to take a look at this old Northern Avenue Bridge.
We're at the mouth of the Fort Point Channel with Dan McNichol, author and passionate advocate for saving the old Northern Avenue Bridge. The Seaport District rises behind us, all curtain wall, glass, and steel. The Northern Avenue Bridge, brown, rusting, and crumbling today, harkens back to the steely magnificence of Boston's old industrial age.
The bridge was built in 1908, and it started swinging to allow boats to come into South Station, which was pretty new at the time. South Station opened up around 1900, and it was critical for cargo to go from boats to trains.
McNichol calls Boston an aquadynamic city. And if waterways formed an essential circulatory system for the city's economy, the Northern Avenue Bridge was like a critical heart valve, checking the flow of goods and people into and out of Boston. Of course, the bridge ceased functioning in 2014 when it was permanently swung open. The Coast Guard warned that the bridge could collapse. And earlier this year, the city of Boston said it will spend up to $100 million either restoring or replacing the bridge. But between restore and replace, oh, does a mighty chasm roar. Time for a new bridge that serves Boston's 21st century economy, say some. Others, like McNichol, call for a modernizing restoration. Why erase the physical evidence of Boston's industrial past? The past is present in this city, McNichol says. And to prove his point, he asks us to imagine what the rusty old bridge looked like when it used to swing open.
It's like an elephant doing a pirouette. When this thing swings open, it stops traffic. It literally does. Pedestrians, bicyclists, cars, people just stop and look. It's been neglected for almost a half a century. For almost half its life, I would say it was really neglected. But the bridge, miraculously, it still swings. It's over almost 300 feet. It's 250 plus feet. And when it does swing, it swings slowly now. But it used to swing pretty quickly. About 30 seconds, it was open and letting ships, and we're talking large ships carrying sugar, carrying cargo to South Station, would pass through here.
You know, it's interesting, even just standing here today, you can see or hear how much Boston has changed since the bridge was constructed, because we've got planes going overhead. There's obviously construction going on all around us because South Boston is transforming before our very eyes. There's the new bridge, newish bridges. It's as if, like, you almost step back in time when you're looking at the Northern Avenue Bridge compared to the Boston of today.
That is what makes this bridge magic, that it somehow has survived. It wasn't supposed to. Congressman Moakley did not like this bridge, and that's putting it very politely. He wanted it gone, and I don't know how it survived him, because he was a very powerful man, but we're right between his courthouse and his wife's bridge, the Evelyn Moakley Bridge, and it swings in an important part of Boston, where East Boston, South Boston, downtown financial all seem to come together at this point. But you can hear the Seaport District being built right now as we stand here. That's about 1,000 acres of property that are going to be developed. Millions and millions and millions of square feet will be coming in the next 30 years. And I can't think of a more magical way to connect the past with the future. When you think about passing over from the old financial district into the new innovation district and going across this on your bike, by foot, by rapid bus, you know, this city is kind of walled off from the water. So access to the water is key. And what I believe is that this bridge could become really a boathouse. There was a fire boathouse here that fell into the harbor in the 1960s. If we bring that back, this could be the place where resourced, challenged neighborhoods that have been walled off by the highways, the Southeast Expressway, I-90, they could be brought back to the waterfront, and they could have access. Families could be rowing. The place to see Boston is from the water, looking back.
Well, see, you're tantalizing me here with standing so close to the water.
Let's get
Can we
going.
Get in a boat?
Let's get in a boat. Okay, yeah, so let's go take a look underneath. And you'll see where engineers call it zeroing out, meaning there's almost no support left.
Well, I mean, I can see some just right here. There's Like these old, it's are these steel iron?
It's pig iron. It's not even the best steel that they can use.
I mean, it's completely rusted out in sections.
Exactly.
Gone.
I mean, think about this. You're in the worst conditions possible. Salt water, wind, elements, and they've just, the city for decades has left it to rot.
But playing devil's advocate here, this is a very expensive restoration. And if your overall goal is to create a place where people have access to the water, why not just take the bridge down and build something new?
Because if you build something new, you're going to have something that's almost certainly concrete, steel. It's going to be heavy. It's going to be looking like so much of what's probably going to be coming to us in the form of the Seaport District. You can't recreate something like this. It's just from another era, and it's about pulling people in and wowing them. And this structure brought back with boathouse, fire boathouse, and the bridge tender's house brought back will just make them realize how significant Boston's history is to its waterfront, and its waterfront to its engineering, to its parks, to its everything.
But there's always this question of, like, is it worth it in comparison to the opportunity that we could have? And this isn't just a cost question, but a use question. If we built a truly modern structure that could accommodate all the uses that the bridge might have, and even further facilitate growth. I mean, like, you know, could it be bigger, for example?
Look at Fenway. We could have brought in a new stadium that maybe handled more people, more fans. It could have been with better seating, maybe, but it wouldn't have been Fenway. It wouldn't have been the 1912 stadium that people refer to as Mecca of baseball. And that's what this is. And think about what's going on at Fenway now. I mean, the whole city's on a tear in a wonderful way, but Fenway has got a lot of magic there, and it wouldn't be that remarkable experience if it wasn't Fenway. And I think that's what we're looking at here. It's impossible to recreate anything like this. Once it's gone forever. We have tens of millions of new square feet coming, tens and tens of millions of square feet of opportunity to build something brand new in the Seaport District. That's going to happen in the next 30 years. We can't bring this back, so let's keep it and give a shout out to that period, that steampunk era, late 1800s, early 1900s, that is so important and seems to have been forgotten, lost through the cracks.
Oh, Fenway, you mentioned the Church of Boston practically. That's not even a fair argument. Well, there's no counter argument to that.
Well, we're trying to, you know, be mindful here of, this isn't about old. This is about new. This is about connecting and keeping Boston magical. And so much of what people want to see in Boston is what's old. But let's face it, everyone wants new and exciting things too. Like, Boston wouldn't be a great city if it didn't have an internet connection. And we get that, you know, but this is about having both.
Dan McNichol is an author and advocate for preserving the Northern Avenue Bridge. And just last week, by the way, the City of Boston and the Boston Society of Architects announced they are launching a competition for ideas on the bridge's future. The competition opens on March 21st. There's more information about that at radioboston.org. And while we're talking about the Northern Avenue Bridge, I'm just curious, what do you think? Should we restore it or should we replace it? Send us a tweet so I can do a very unscientific, informal poll about that. Send us a tweet at Radio Boston with the words restore or replace when it comes to the Northern Avenue Bridge. And if you've got pictures, I'd love to see those as well. And we've also got a development in another story today. Boston's St. Patrick's Day Parade can march along its usual route rather than a shortened one that had been sought by the City of Boston. A federal judge made that order today. The Boston Globe reports that U.S. District Court Judge Richard Stern said that the parade organizers had a First Amendment right to march along the longer route. Even though the route had been following the same path for about 20 years, the exception, of course, was last year with all that snow, but the city hadn't formally tied the change to the route until February 26. Again, that's reporting from the Boston Globe. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, and Jamie Bologna. We had help today from Virginia Marshall and Allison Bruzek. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.